Hello, this is Ed Markey speaking. Welcome to the Ed Markey Podcast. Okay, so...
Let me know.
Oh, man.
Welcome back to the podcast. I'm here with Reverend Yearwood, the president, the CEO of the Hip Hop Caucus, and a leader in the fight for climate justice, the leader in the battle to make sure that we do this with environmental justice across all of our country. So, Reverend, last time we got together for something like this, we were on Twitter Spaces.
That's right.
Talking about environmental justice and environmental and climate action. And that was 6 months before we actually passed the Inflation Reduction Act, or another way of saying it, the largest climate bill in the history of the United States.
Congratulations.
Can you tell us a little bit about what you've been up to over the last year since we've begun this post-passage of the Inflation Reduction Act?
Well, Senator Mark, let me just tell you how much you are a blessing to our movement. Over the years, you have, without a doubt, ensured that climate legislation was central. I remember, as you know, I've been around when we were first a part of the Waxman Markey, and, and we had to push that forward. And then from there, you didn't stop. You came back out. You were then dealing with the Green New Deal. From the Green New Deal, obviously, gets to this point from the bipartisan infrastructure law, CHIPS, and the IRA, the Inflation Reduction Act. And I just want to say that your continuation of understanding that either you shape policy or policy shapes you, that you probably don't know this, but at some point in time, your legacy, hopefully, prayerfully, when our kids look back and say that they still have clean air and clean water, they will look back and say there was this fine gentleman from Massachusetts, this Senator Edward Markey, who was there to ensure that we still live. And so I just want to say thank you.
No, and I appreciate that. Coming from you, especially, Reverend. Well, tell us a little bit about what got you into the fight. What was your moment that that you had that said, I'm going to move over and work on these climate, these environmental justice issues?
Well, you know, I'm president of Hip Hop Caucus, which is an amazing organization. Turns 20 years this year. And so I'm very proud of that. But it was Hurricane Katrina. I'm originally from Louisiana. And I would say that on August 29th of 2005, I was actually here in Washington, D.C., but watching and seeing my neighbors and family and friends drowning in the richest country in the world, you know, for me that was hard because I had been, one, I had pledged my life to this country. I was former Air Force officer. So, you know, and I had, I want everyone, no matter if you're Republican or Democrat, to do well. But then specifically seeing poor black, poor white, and indigenous people left behind in our country because of the climate crisis, that's just hurt. And then having 1,833 people die, and then still die, like 19 years later, still dying, that was it. And then I realized that even if we didn't have Hurricane Katrina, that my home state is called Cancer Alley. And why is it we have this 85 stretch of land between Baton Rouge and New Orleans has all this industry that is polluting not only our community, but the world? And so from that point, with the Hip Hop Caucus, we began to get involved. And that was important because I didn't come through this through the traditional environmental organizations. I came through this kind of not through the suites, but through the streets. And so been fighting ever since.
Right. Yeah, it's not crime in the suites. The crime in the streets, that's the big problem. It's crime in the suites.
Well,
all these big companies all orchestrate against, and let's talk about it, about black, brown, indigenous communities and how imperative it is that we get them ever more deeply into this movement to make sure that they're at the front of the line, that they're leading on this issue, because it's their story.
It is.
That is really the warning for everyone else, because if it's happening to them now, it's going to happen to everybody else eventually.
Well, let me first say what you just said. Folks need to know that there is industry that we want to transition. We hope that philosophy industry does what is right to do what they need to do, but they're not doing that. And unfortunately, they continue to have a business plan that means a death sentence for many of our communities. As a matter of fact, when I was in at the climate conference in the UN in Dubai, I ran into Darren Woods, the CEO of Exxon. Actually, I almost didn't want to run into him. We were in the same gathering, and I was trying to go to the restroom, and he cut me off. And one of the things there, he said to me, is that we were wrong on petrochemicals. And I was like, no, we're not wrong on petrochemicals. And I said, I told him about the people who are dying because of petrochemicals in Kitchen Alley. And then he said this. He said, I don't think anybody's dying there. And that haunts me. Now, I know Exxon has been playing a lot of games with a lot of numbers, but that haunted me because I know for a fact that there's black, brown, my neighbors, the community members, who are dying horrible deaths because of their exposure to these toxins. And so I know also that it is in those same communities where we have the new Ella Bakers, the new Fannie Lou Hamers who are rising up, particularly black women who are leading a new matriarchal-led, young people, queer-led, affirmative movement that is rising up and saying no. And that's what's powerful, because they are folks who were former school teachers like Sharon Levine to folks who are like Rosetta Ozane and Lake Charles. They are rising up and they are saying that, yes, we may not have all the nuts and bolts and resources and infrastructure, but we are going to guarantee that our children have a future. And that's exciting to me, because that to me is what we need to have this, of course, entire country, where we have women and young people and different communities coming together saying we demand clean air and clean water. It is our right to have that.
So the CEO of ExxonMobil says to you, yeah, no one's dying.
No one's
dying. Don't worry about it.
The numbers aren't that high.
Numbers aren't that high. So, yeah, you know, as you and I are talking right now, the tidal basin here in Washington, D.C. has all of the cherry blossoms, which have come out 3 weeks early.
Wow.
Now, ExxonMobil would say, not our responsibility that we're just having the warmest months ever recorded, and the traffic jams
over and over again.
So in the same way that he gave you an answer, well, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
He's going to be in denial that his company and companies like it had a responsibility for having the cherry blossoms come out 3 weeks early.
And you're right. And what's unfortunate is that when I met Darren Woods, as a person, just talking to him, just like a bad guy, you know, it's like a guy from Texas, just like a bad guy. But it is this continuation on greed. And I think that we as Americans, we as Republicans, Democrats, Americans, we have to create legislation, which you're doing really well, what we did with the Inflation Reduction Act. And in the Inflation Reduction Act, we have to then use pieces of legislation to help industry to transition. Because one of the things that's there is that they are also refusing to transition. But within legislation that you helped to craft, it was important that you are finding new ways, new solutions, so that workers, folks from the unions, can have real jobs that will be there not only for their own livelihoods, but to keep them alive for their children. And so when I listen to Darren Woods and folks like that, I just think of just the greed. And I think they just lost it for their shareholders. But we as Americans, all of us, need to come together and say that madness must stop right now.
So what would you say to young people right now? What would you say to the black and brown communities in terms of this election? Donald Trump, who got his degree in climate change from Trump University and all of his supporters, And it's all on the ballot this November. Yeah. So what's your message to young people, to black and brown communities, in terms of what the consequences are if Trump wins?
Well, first let me say this. No matter who you are, if you think that climate change is a hoax, that should be disqualifying. I don't think anybody should be able to run for office because of the toll that takes on humanity. That's just my take. And if you're pushing that message, you're going against the scientific knowledge and what's already been established. That's the first thing. I think that for young people, you have to know that this is our lunch counter moment for the 21st century. And what I mean by that, in the 20th century, our parents came together, black, white, brown, male, female, straight, gay, they came together to fight for equality so that we wouldn't have to sit, drink from different water fountains or sit at different counters. We came together as Americans and said, that should not be the case. So we can sit here side by side and have conversations. That's what we did. The difference now in the 20th century and the 21st century is that while they fought for equality, and we're definitely still fighting for equality, we are now fighting for existence. And so young people need to know that it is existence that is on the ballot, that if we allow for someone to destroy this planet or undergird all the progress we have made, we are rolling back. And the difference with science and chemistry and physics is that when you roll things back, there's no way to put it back in order again. And so that's where we are. And so I would encourage, I think that clearly it is time for young people to get out there and ensure that we do not have that rolling back. I want to say, I know there's a lot of concern from young people about how what we're doing on other issues, and they are right to have those concerns. They are right to lift up what's going on with this concern, what's happening here or there. But the one thing is this, if we have no planet, or we have no planet we can live upon, then it is a game over for us all.
Right, so Donald Trump is saying, drill, baby, drill, and we're saying, plug in, baby, plug in. Right. Move to an all-electric revolution. Move to wind and solar, all-electric vehicles, battery storage technologies. Let's just move and do it. And
we have to.
And we have to. We just have to say, plug in, baby, plug in. This is the year it's on the ballot. And at the same time, the oil industry, they have a kind of a petrochemical strategy, too.
They do.
Let's talk about that. What's their game?
Well, we for folks who are listening, we are winning. Let me tell you, from the time from the Weissman Markey back in 2011 to the time we first started to transition from coal, from campaigns like Beyond Coal to now, they know that at this rate that they need an end-around plan. And their end-around plan is in plastics. Their end-around plan... And single-use plastic, people say, well, we need plastic. Yes, well, yes, we need certain plastic for certain heart procedures, certain things. Of course, we're talking about this plastic on everything. We're plastic wrapping our bananas, and which already has the wrapping. And we're talking about this single-use plastics and fertilizer and things that we don't need. Vinyl chloride, which was part of the explosion in East Palestine, Ohio. We're talking about we need to transition from that. The fossil fuel industry realizes that they want us to now move from oil and gas, just that component, to really being hooked on single-use plastics. And so we have to stop the expansion of petrochemicals, and we're doing that. Unfortunately, as you know, petrochemicals are down in Louisiana, my home state. They're in Texas, Oil River Valley. So they're just building this industry out. But we need to stop their end-around game on petrochemicals.
Well, And I want to work with you, Reverend, on putting a bigger and bigger spotlight on that.
I appreciate that.
That plan which they have. And we should be moving towards non-polluting ways in which we can substitute for the petrochemical industry. It's absolutely, absolutely insistent. They want plastic to be our future. And we can avoid that if we're smart.
And let me say this. You mentioned about, for me, coming from predominantly African-American communities, right now, we know that we are now seeing mothers who are having plastic in their placenta.
Wow.
We know that plastic now, microfibers, are all throughout. And so we can't continue that at all.
Yeah, so you're just such a great leader on these issues, an inspirational leader, a spiritual leader. You do it all, and I just love listening to you. They say that you're preaching to the choir, but people should just go to Environmental Justice Church every week just to hear you preach, because people have to go out there and act on this. They have to take...
We got some documentaries, so they don't got to hear me. They can also go watch our. They go to hiphopcaucus.org. They can check out our documentaries on underwater projects and all.
And
kind
how
of
are
stuff.
They going to reach that? How do they reach your documentaries?
Yeah, well, right now we're in the film festival circuit, so to speak, with a film we're doing called Underwater Projects. It was co-directed by Liz Havstead and Dream Hampton, and it features Wanda Sykes. So it's exciting. And it's in the film festival. But we have a number of other documentaries. You can just go to the website at hiphopcaucus.org.
At hiphopcaucus.org. Just go check out
all of
the incredible work which Reverend Yearwood and the Hip Hop Caucus do on an ongoing basis. So the way we do this, Reverend, is we wrap up by going to a game.
Okay, I'm
that
ready.
I like to call Big Oil or Movie Villain. Big Oil... a movie villain.
Okay.
And I'll read a quote to you.
Okay.
And you can tell me whether you think the person who said it was a Big Oil executive or did a movie villain say it.
Man.
It's tough.
I was just hanging with one.
It's tough.
I know.
Okay. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
So up first, our capabilities must not be undermined. Our capabilities must not be undermined.
That sounds...
What do you think? Big Oil, movie villain?
I'm going to say Big Oil.
Correct answer. That was John Lowe, the executive vice president of ConocoPhillips, testifying in front of my committee on oil issues. So, one for one, Reverend.
Okay, all right.
Okay, here's one more. I'm altering the deal. Pray I don't alter it any further. I'm altering the deal. Pray I don't alter it any further. What do you think? Big Oil? Movie villain?
Just because of the word praise in there, I'm going to say movie villain.
That was Darth Vader. But Big Oil has broken every promise.
They have.
That they've ever made to the American people as well. So two for two. So are you up for one more?
I am.
All right. Quote, that's real. That's true. And we need to deal with that cost. But that view ignores the benefits it brings to society. That's real. That's true. But we need to deal with that cost. And that view ignores the benefits it brings to society. Big Oil, a movie villain.
With the crazy wordplay, I must think it's Big Oil.
You're incredible. And by the way, you really hit the jackpot, because that was Darren Woods, chairman and CEO of ExxonMobil.
Cut me off to the bathroom. We'll let me go to the restroom here to speak his madness.
Acknowledging the impact of emissions, but refusing to believe that we must get rid of fossil fuels.
Oh,
so
man.
We were talking about him earlier.
There it is.
And he's back here again, and as usual... I'm not saying infallibility, but if you got one guy to call, you call Reverend Yearwood, because he knows the answers to what we have to do.
I appreciate that.
In order to save the planet. And it's not just emissions, it's equity. It's ensuring that we do this with justice. So I thank you, Reverend.
My brother, thank you so much.
Thank you for your great leadership.
We fight on.